Good evening. Can people hear me okay? Good. So at this time of year, at this particular Wednesday night, we would generally be having the formal Hungry Ghost ceremony. And with the drums, with the cymbals, with the chanting, with the altar at the back of the zendo that's filled with piles of fruit and vegetables and rice and cookies to feed the hungry ghosts, to lure them from their hiding places out into the open. And so, like a lot of things in this era, we're doing things a little differently. And I thought I would just talk about our idea of the hungry ghost realm tonight. We would be making howling noises to call them from afar. I think in, excuse me, I get some water. I think in honor, in honor of Western tradition, we'd be wearing costumes, many of us would be. And tonight we're looking just like this. And it's looking pretty much like our usual Zoom Zendo, and we're having our usual Dharma talk. So let me say something about the Hungry Ghost realm and the six realms of existence. Traditionally, based on our behavior, our actions, our karma, in our last life, we are born into one of these six realms of existence. And there's the the hell realm, which we can just imagine is hellish. There's the animal realm, which is about survival and intense desire. When I need to eat, I have to eat right now. And it's about killing and running away and impulsive acquiring of desire. There's the hungry ghost realm, which we'll talk more about today. But that's the realm of we're not getting what we want in the world. It's dominated by hunger and thirst, and we're just not satisfied with the way the world is. Those are the three lower realms. The three upper realms are the human realm, which is like this. It can be pretty good, but we know that it's also pretty impermanent and things can change pretty quickly. Then there's the heavenly realm, where everything is going great. You finally paid off your student loans. You finally retired and you own your own house, the heavenly realm. And then the fighting titan realm of people in board meetings that are fighting over their turf. And their life is generally pretty good, but they constantly have to watch out that their turf is not infringed upon. So those are the six realms that we might be reborn in. But you know, reincarnation is kind of a sticky wicket in the world of Buddhism. So the Mahayana Buddhism looks at these six realms as actually mind states that we can travel through all six of them in 24 hours, depending on what we're doing with our minds and bodies, what we've gotten ourselves into. To warn people, if there's any questions on reincarnation, I'm going to mute you very quickly and we'll go on to the next. You'll be muted so fast, your head will spin. So no questions on reincarnation tonight. let me get rid of this frog in my throat. Let me say a little more about the hungry ghost realm. The Buddha first talked about this in one of the early sutras, one of his most famous sutras, the Lion's Roar Sutra, where he talks about the powers of the Tathagatas. And he describes the hungry ghost realm as this. Suppose there were a tree growing on uneven ground with only scanty foliage causing dappled shade. And then a person scorched and exhausted by hot weather, weary, parched and thirsty, came by a path in one way only, and it was directed towards this same scanty tree. Then another person with good sight saw the first person and would say, this person is behaving such that he will go to that same tree. And he will still be experiencing much painful feelings. So when we're in the hungry ghost realm in our lives, maybe earlier today, it's like we've been working hard, we're hot, and all we've got is this rocky, uneven soil and a little bit of shade from a small tree to huddle under. And so we're still pretty uncomfortable, but that's the only rest we can get until we have to move on. Just as a quick aside, a few years ago, I was hiking on the Camino in Portugal, which is kind of I should have been in a heavenly state. I was on vacation in another country. I should have been in the heavenly realm, but I was hiking in 104 degree weather, from a beautiful vineyard. And I laughed to myself that the vines were in the heavenly realm because they love hot weather and the vines love rocky soil. And I was in the Hungry Ghost realm because it was pretty warm and there was hardly any shade. As a matter of fact, I would sit down underneath to rest. And, you know, vineyards are all in these rows and all the leaves are stretched out on the wires. So the shade is like only about 2 feet wide. And so I would kind of huddle in this 2 foot wide strip on the rocky soil and sit down for a while. So, I want to promise you that I was thinking of the realms of existence. Even then, I was on a pilgrimage. And so Buddhist thoughts came up for me every few miles. And this was one of them where I said, I'm in the Hungry Ghost realm, and these vines are in the heavenly realm, and we're both on the same spot. So the Hungry Ghost is not getting what he or she desires or needs. There is nothing around that will satisfy her needs. This Hungry Ghost is always depicted as having a tiny little mouth and a tiny little neck and a huge stomach, so that even when food and water is available, it can't go in, or it's very hard to get in. And this big stomach is never going to get filled being dribbled through such a small orifice. many times we also think of hungry ghosts as parts of us that we're a little embarrassed about, that we're a little ashamed of, that that pop up like parts of our personality that pop up and embarrass us. So we like to keep it kind of hidden. Things like I behaved horribly in that last relationship. How could I have said such a thing? Or why did I wait until the last minute once again? And these are kind of personality traits that keep getting us in trouble, that as much as possible, we like to keep them, put them away, keep them hidden. How can I be so old and still crave approval from my parents? We kind of like to have a part of us that is hidden, that we hide away. And this hungry ghost ceremony, or when we do remember them, at a time like this, we want to welcome them back. Can you be healed? Can I welcome this part of you back, so that we can be this one whole person once again? I listened to a podcast by the Reverend Domio Burke. She teaches up in the Portland area, and she gave a nice talk on the six realms of existence. She said, we create our own hungry ghost realm by adopting a worldview based on lack When we have this view, we truly live in a barren universe, devoid of anything meaningful or nourishing. We even feel justified sometimes in our effort to satisfy our hunger. This can lead to self-absorption, greediness, and stinginess. This is the world of the hungry ghost that we can travel in very quickly from one part of the day to the next. That in this time of the Hungry Ghost Festival, the Tsujiki ceremony, we want to heal, that we want to pull back in, not push away. Can this be healed? I have a sense that my white privilege is a hungry ghost. My schools were better. I waltzed through the all-white admissions committee at UCSC and Wake Forest University. I didn't create these structures, but I wanted what was on the other side. And so I willingly went through all the doors that were open for me due to my privilege. You know, it went on to things like, you know, housing loans that were given to me. So this too is the world of desire that I walked through in my life. In our Awakening Together group, where we're reading the book by Ruth King entitled Mindful of Race, she said in the last chapter that we looked at, she said, white people must acknowledge that they have a racial group, a racial identity, and as a collective, have historically resisted racial equality in favor of white power and greed. In our group, we're willing to take a look at where our privilege has pulled us ahead of other races, and take a look at joining in the national and now even worldwide efforts for equality and evening out the playing field. And Ruth says again and again that this starts with really taking a look at what our behavior has been, what our systems have been, and being willing to change. So our practice then is healing and wholeness, bringing back the hungry ghosts from their hiding places and meeting them with an open heart. Catherine talks about this in her book, The Truth of This Life. And it's we just read this in the part of the book, the chapter called Loving the World as It Is. I paraphrase a little bit. She's talking about a group. I'm talking about now an individual. So she says, seeing yourself free from everything you fear you are is a most extraordinary event. Things become luminous. This is seeing things from the heart, seeing things from compassion. So this is how Catherine points us towards healing and oneness and wholeness. Looking at our lives with an open heart, with compassion, and saying, come on back, come on back. I want to elicit, Sandra, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you remember that Thich Nhat Hanh gatha that we looked at in one of the other classes about smiling? Can you remember it enough to say it?
I believe it was smiling at my pride and my ignorance.
Yes, yes. So Thich Nhat Hanh says, can we just smile at our ignorance and delusions and our pride and our privilege? Can we smile and invite it in to take a closer look, to say, you know, let's make friends once again? It reminds me of yesterday morning, somebody brand new zoomed in. And, you know, the morning is our most formal time. And he didn't have much to say. He was just this little figure with his name. And at the end, when we were all kind of ready to bow out, one of the people said, didn't your, to this new person, you know, we can read their names on the screen. Didn't your grandmother used to live next door to me? And there he was with a smile, and he gave us a wave. So just that smiling, just that open heart to the part of me that I'm a little ashamed of, that I want to stay hidden, is gonna welcome him back. And I'm all for that altar that's in the back of the room, filled with the food. I can make that person a meal. I can take that pile of persimmons and make a persimmon bread. I can take that pile of zucchini and make a vegetable dish. So with a smile and a little bit of heart, we invite people, we invite those cast off parts of ourselves. Years ago, and I tell this to Nanette Overly many times, she was talking about being so self-critical and how this critical of parts of herself that she wished she didn't have. And then she said, you know, if I were talking to another person rather than myself, I wouldn't be so critical. I would be welcoming. I would be friendly. I would say, come back and join us. I've always remembered that as a way to really take a, like Thich Nhat Hanh's gatha, you know, smiling at the parts that I don't particularly like at myself, in a way of getting them closer, in a way of welcoming them back in. And of course, every week on Thursday nights, we chanted the Gate of Sweet Dew. And this is a chant that specifically calls back the hungry goats. Goats would make them come back. but we're calling back the hungry ghosts. We chant, giving rise to awakened mind, we unconditionally offer a bowl of pure food to all the hungry ghosts in every land, to the farthest of vast emptiness in the 10 directions, including every atom throughout the entire Dharma realm. So if I could, I would disperse my hungry ghosts to that farthest realm where there's only a few atoms. So that's how much we want to get rid of these parts of ourselves. But actually, every week we say, let our voices even reach out to those farthest realms to call them back. We invite all our departed ancestors. We invite the spirits dwelling in the mountains and rivers, as well as all the demonic spirits from the untamed wilderness. That can sometimes describe my internal life as an untamed wilderness. And I definitely hide a few hungry ghosts in that wilderness, and with food, and inviting them to meet my ancestors, my departed ancestors. My mother will be there. Come on back. Let's have a meal together. Now, with deep sympathy, we offer food to all of you. This is Catherine's compassionate view. With deep sympathy, with deep compassion, we offer food to all of you, so that you and all the many sentient beings will be satisfied, so that you may depart from suffering, be liberated, find birth in heaven, and receive joy. We chant that every week in a way to heal ourselves, to remind us to open our hearts, and make room for all the pieces of ourselves that we've kind of hidden in the wilderness. And then, of course, there's our sitting, which Suzuki Roshi calls a vast open field. Let's sit in this in this vast field together. If you're a little embarrassed, you can be way out in the corner of that field, and you can come in a little closer when you feel a little more comfortable, when you see that it's safe to come back. And this is our sitting. Sometimes when we're sitting there wondering when that bell is going to ring, saying to ourselves, this is the longest 40 minutes I've ever spent, what we're doing is having a hard time being in the company of our hungry ghosts. And maybe then when we are mindful of that, when we're aware of that, when we've studied that in the way Dogen talks about it, when we've penetrated that thought that, oh, these are my hungry ghosts, I'm a little uncomfortable being with them, then we can open our hearts, we can straighten our shoulders, we can take a few deep breaths and see if we can't sit with those difficult beings just a little longer, just until the bell finally rings. May we develop the ease and the openness and the whole heart to hold all beings in comfort and in joy. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow